from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I think Keon is reliable for what he does. I don't expect him to average 15 a night. I think Trey Lyles is reliable for what he does. He's a good seven to eight points a night. And once again, that's not Malik. In that role, do you think Kevin is reliable?
I don't know what role Kevin is reliable in.
I think Kevin could try to like be in that role, but I wouldn't consider him dependable. Like, I don't think I could count on Kevin Herter the way we could Malik Monk.
Like, I say that to say, like worst case scenario, Kevin Herter's giving you 10 a night in the starting lineup. Worst case. You know what I'm saying? Like, I expect him to do that. And I'm saying that because last year, was probably the worst year of his career. Mm-hmm. He still gave you 10. So I can rely on at least 10 a night from Herter in the worst season of his career. So that's what I could depend on there. On the bench, can he give that type of production? Maybe not 10 a night, but consistent. Is 10 the ceiling for him off the bench? I don't know. I definitely think he can. He's capable of it. We've seen it in Atlanta. He didn't always start. He came off the bench. I think he was averaging 10 or 12 or something like that. So he's capable of it. But is his mentals right?
Mm.
That's the thing. That's the only thing I worry about. Not his ability. Is he bought into that job? Because Jesse, let's say if he can give you 10, 12 a night off the bench, and you start Malik, like, is everything solved at that point?
Get that 10 to 12, 12 a night. I think we could do that.
Okay. If he doesn't buy into the role, he's got to go.
Yeah.
You don't get to start because you want to. Mm-hmm. Like, Malik didn't. Malik wanted to. Mm-hmm. If we're giving speeches about sacrifice, Kevin got to get the same speech.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Just don't blindside him with it. That's my number one thing. Don't blindside him with it.
I was about to ask you, do you need to have that conversation right now?
Or
maybe first day of camp.
Yeah, you need to have it in camp. Like, if you're leaning towards something, or you just flat out know what you're doing, whether that's Malik or Keon, I absolutely believe that needs to be communicated clearly to Kevin Herter day one. Mm. And even if it's, we got to open battle here, open roster spot, open starting spot, I should say. All right, man, you're going in though thinking something. Mm. Communicate that. And you should probably, truth be told, communicate that to everybody. Yeah. If it really truly is open, all three of those guys you pull aside and say, look, this thing is completely open. We are making a judgment on this position, starting position, based on what happens here in training camp. We're expecting whoever doesn't start to be as effective off the bench as they are as if they were starting. Mm-hmm. Just like I feel you'd have to tell them, hey, Keon really helped De'Aaron on the defensive end. He really helped the team overall defensively last year. And we like what this might look like with DeMar in the lineup. So we're leaning towards Keon right now, but it's up to you guys to change my mind. Mm. We expect whatever we're doing this year for you to be bought in. I feel like they already know what they're doing. I think Mike said the right things, just like I think Malik said the right things. But I think they already know what they're doing at that spot when the season starts. I think they already know what they're doing at that spot when camp starts.
Mm. I think so, too. And I don't know. I kind of feel like you need to have that conversation before camp starts, like around now.
Well, it probably that. So I feel like it might have because I'm guessing Kevin's agent called and was like, hey, what are we doing here? Like, what's my client's place on this team? I feel like that's an educated guess more than 100% a guess. I feel like that's a bit of an educated guess, but I think there's been communication there. Now, I don't know what the result of the communication was, but I feel like there's probably been communication there.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, I look at that list though, and it's like, hey, man,
Kings win a championship if they have Austin Reeves. That's my takeaway from the list.
There's that. But it's like, man, like, I mean, on this list, he's a top 15 shooting guard. In reality, he's probably higher than that.
I feel like Kevin could do a lot, too.
Just like in general or off
the
bench?
Off the bench. Yeah, I feel like coming off the bench, I feel like there's a lot of different things that he could do kind of based on the lineup and what you decide to do. Mm-hmm. With DeMar, Malik, and so on. Jesse's sending us a note. Ian Rappaport and Mike Rafala believe that the eventual outcome is Brandon Ayuk is a Steeler. Mm. Mike Reese, Pat's reporter, said the Patriots offered him. Well, this
that's
is different.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's a crazy number.
Mike Reese, Pat's reporter, said the Patriots offered him in the 32 million-dollar average range.
Mm. Now I get both sides. That number's out there. Like, if the Niners are giving you 26, but the 30 is out there, like, that's out there, then you have to.
I think if he goes to Pittsburgh, I think if he goes to Pittsburgh, it's going to be 30.
And if it is, then he did right.
No, he got paid.
Yeah, he did right for himself. I mean, like his goal, he reached his
goal.
Well,
yeah, Steelers isn't a bad situation.
Yeah, they could be a playoff.
I don't like it. I, as a wide receiver, I'm not going to a place where there's a quarterback battle. Ain't no quarterback battle in San Francisco.
Yeah, we've seen good receivers put up numbers with bad ones, though. And it's Mike Tomlin's there. They'll be winning.
It depends on what your priority is.
Who are you sending back in this?
I said earlier, and I agree with this, like if it's not a wide receiver or a certified starter, it's just a fail by the 49ers.
George Pickens is kind of, he's not been a distraction, but he doesn't seem like the biggest Steeler guy. But I don't think he's a Kyle Shanahan guy either, so I don't see that happening.
Well, I hear you. They got to get a starter back, somebody who could help them like now.
Well, just don't see the Steelers going Pickens for Ayuk either.
If the Niners do this trade, and just do it for some picks or something like that, that's whack. That's not
a trade
good
for
enough.
Picks is whack. Yeah, that's not good enough. That's a tough look for guys like Fred Warner and Trent Williams.
That is.
You think there's any chance Ayuk holds out if they didn't trade him, like meaning into the season, like he comes back week 8 or whenever?
I think he would have.
I do not.
I think he was dug in.
So I'm with Casey in the sense, if I'm the Niners and I'm not getting my deal, but he's not going to hold out into the season, brother, just play here then. Like, we got games to win because Niners are still trying to win a Super Bowl too.
Even if you believe like me, I believe he would hold out. Even if you believe that, like, I'm still not giving him up for just some rando trade package.
This doesn't have anything to do with Brandon Ayuk. It is 49ers related, and it's from one of our guys, Nick Wagner, who obviously he's there every day. Mm-hmm. He just posted the longest tweet I've ever seen.
You must not have seen him the other day.
I've never seen a tweet that does this.
I can't read those, bro.
That's about on par with what he did the other day.
This is crazy. This is a Kamara tweet. This is like, look, man.
Nick, throw that on ESPN. Send me the link to the article. I'll read it.
Yeah, congratulations, or I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm not. And then you got this circulating the timeline. For those who can't read it, that says the Oak Park, the Heights, and South Sac.
People thought it was accurate.
Head over to King KC916.
Bro, Twitter was for fast tweets and just quick scrolling. I can't.
Will you change your name back? Will you change your social media handles back?
No, we're going to let that one go.
So obnoxious.
We're
going to
let that go.
32 million is crazy.
32 million.
That is wild.
That's right under Justin, and that's it, right?
Yeah, let me see if I can pull it. No, yeah. It's. I think it might be Jaylen, or AJ Brown might be there. He's 31 or 32.
AJ
but
Brown.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Where he'd be the third highest at least.
Well, Jamar and him, yeah, man. Jamar and CD aren't going to knock him out of the top five.
Right, he'll be top five.
They
man.
Might move him to five or four, depending on where AJ is.
Yeah,
but
he'll stay in that top five for that one. Salute to him if he can get $32 million.
I feel like at that point, it's one of those things where you just shake hands and move on. The Niners can't pay that.
Yeah.
It can't pay that, but you can't just give them away.
But let's also not act like the 49ers don't have like some control over this.
Over
and I hate to go corporate KC here. No, trading him.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a free agent.
That's what I just said. Like, I'm not going to just give him away. I can't do that.
Does his value go down, though, the longer you keep him?
That's not my concern.
It kind of is, though, because, if you're trading him, his value's going to be
higher. But it's not if you don't get anything back for
him.
Right.
Like, if I'm worried about his value and all I'm getting is some draft picks and a fringe starter right now, that's – what am I losing if I wait 8 weeks?
What am I going to give you any more for that, though, if you're just not going to sign him? I know that.
And I just – I won't – I can get that trading T.O.'s son.
Come on, I know you cannot. Let's be real.
I can get some random picks in a fringe starter. Because
we're talking second rounders and all that, though. Like, that's not fringe.
I don't. Yeah.
You taking a second rounder now compared to a fourth later on? That's bad business.
I don't know. But that don't mean that. I could blow this second round pick. That ain't no guaranteed starter.
It's a higher talent of players, though. Higher pool of talented players.
That's not a guaranteed starter. I need a starter.
Well, I mean, going off the logic, if you're trading for picks, a second rounder is more likely to start than whatever you can get later on. Like, you're not getting Cooper, I don't think. Like, that's not happening.
There's second rounders every day that don't become starters.
Well, my point is, you're going to try and get the most that you can get. Like, rather than a second rounder now compared to a fourth rounder later on, like, give me the second rounder.
I hear what you're saying. You're not wrong. What I would say is, it's not that big of a discrepancy for me to rush to make a trade right now. Like, if I end up just getting a fourth rounder for him after the year's done, then I do. And even then, if he plays it that way, if he plays it where he don't even play and he don't help us, I still got control over him again.
Corporate Kenny.
Well, it's corporate D-Lo.
Well, corporate, I'm sitting here minding my. I'm laughing. Me and the chatty house is giggling. You over here.
No, nobody can be an adult with this damn chatty house.
Me and Kenny are trying to talk football over here.
Yeah, well, can't do it. Can't do it with that potty language you guys were using.
Oh, man. Can't be an adult.
No, definitely cannot.
Niners are in a tough spot. That's all I know.
No, it's tough. USA advances, by the way. There was very, very little doubt. By little, I mean absolutely none. They wind up winning 88-74 as Nigeria had a big fourth quarter, scoring 26 after a tough third. But Asia Wilson leads the way. For those who haven't heard, Asia is the best player on the planet.
Yes.
20-10 from Asia Wilson. Big performances from Jackie and Brianna Stewart as well. They'll take on, I think I just saw it, Australia. I was just looking at the screen. I might have missed it. I'm sorry. But that's coming up on Friday, and the gold medal game will be on Sunday for the USA women. Hey, the Kings made the Orlando Robinson signing official.
There we go.
Big day for the Kings.
Orlando Robinson going to be at the star-studded Fresno celebrity game on Saturday. Man, I'm going to miss that.
Okay.
Chris Haynes, Paul George, Isaiah Thomas, Jalen Green.
That is star-studded. My goodness.
It's actually a celebrity game right there.
Like, wait a minute. Who put that together? Chris?
Nah, I don't think it was Chris.
That's big
time. I think
it's
whoever runs the Fresno Pro-Am.
Oh, that's big time.
They got it popping.
I haven't seen this, but
Rudy Gay. I'm sorry. Yeah, Rudy Gay going to be there as well.
The Kings were picked to finish eighth in the Western Conference by NBA.com.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the teams in front of them? I mean, obviously Minnesota was there, Oklahoma City was there, Dallas was there. It feels like there's
I'm assuming Phoenix is out of them.
There's probably two that we're thinking about.
I'd probably say Memphis.
There was a. Well, this was posted. I think this is different. This is a power rankings list.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From NBA.com, where they have Oklahoma City at number one, Denver at number two, Dallas at three, Minnesota at four, Phoenix at five, New Orleans at six. The Golden State Warriors at seven.
All right, well, there's three teams right there. Yeah, the Kings are the fifth seed then. Yeah.
Worry about this list at this point.
And the Sacramento Kings at eight.
I'll take the Kings over those three teams.
The Warriors are not good. They're not that good, at least.
I don't get the Pelicans thing either.
I don't get the Warriors thing. That's wild.
I'm just gonna
Band-Aid Braun. Look at that. Band-Aid Braun, no. Four stitches.
Wait a minute. We got to make sure they're actually cheering for Braun. Yesterday, they were cheering for him, and he was like, hey, what's up, McDowell? Put the crown on his head.
It's always working.
And they weren't cheering for
They were not
him.
Cheering for that man at all. We're going to come back. Chris Biederman's going to join us. We'll talk more about this Brandon Ayuk situation with our guy from the Sacramento Bee next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Jesse just hit Kenny with the know your role and shut your mouth.
Talking about he won $200 million for a fight. Hey, who getting $200 million for a fight?
The face of boxing.
Stop it. He ain't never got more than 40. He won $200 million. He don't want no smoke with Benavidez. He don't want nothing to do with him. Because he knows what would happen.
His vein, like on the side of your head, is going to burst. It's when angry Shaq comes to life.
Well, stop. You don't even know why. I'm talking boxing. You don't know nothing about that.
We bring it. I'm sorry, Chris. This is just kind of what happens when you join this show once in a while, man. We missed you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, man. How you living with all this Brandon Ayuk 49er stuff? I mean, the Niners said, man, we figured out the quarterback situation. There ain't no drama there. Let's create it with the wide receiver position. Because this is what they do every year, huh?
They lead the NFL in drama every year, it seems like. I don't really know how to judge this without seeing the end result, right? Because on one hand, like the Niners making everything seemingly public and saying who they're negotiating with, to me reads like they want the world to know that Brandon Ayuk is potentially weighing the idea of going to a worse situation for more money, which in essence could be a negotiating ploy by the Niners saying, yeah, public perception is not going to be on your side, right? Like very few people are ever on the athlete's side when they go choose to play in Cleveland or a rebuilding New England team over a team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl, right? So that was my read on that. And then the Steelers stuff, I mean, it makes sense, but I don't know. I keep coming back to the idea, like, if you're the 49ers, why do you have to trade him? Like, what, like, it, so, you know, you don't sign him to a new contract. Like, what's the end game there? Like, how bad is it? Is Brandon Ayuk gonna not be a professional, gonna not understand that, you know, he still needs to be a professional, be a productive player to get paid at some point down the road? Like, the 49ers absolutely do not have to trade him. And I have a hard time knowing, you know, the little I know about Brandon Ayuk, the human being, I can't imagine he's just going to let himself get in the way of this team trying to compete to win a Super Bowl, because he still cares about his teammates and stuff like that. So I keep coming back to the idea of, like, why do the 49ers have to trade this guy? Because I don't feel like they do. And that said, I don't know the internal dynamics. I don't know what's happening when Brandon Ayuk's in the building and if he's being like a malcontent to the point where the front office is like, we have to get this guy out of here. Or if they're just saying, like, man, talk to these other teams, see if they'll give you $30 million a year. And if they don't, come back to us and then we'll give you our best offer, right? They might be allowing Brandon Ayuk to see what the market actually is for himself instead of negotiating in hypotheticals. So I don't know. A lot of smart people sound like they're convinced a trade's going to happen. I'm still dubious. So it's hard for me to judge the situation without knowing the end result.
It feels like he's 26 years old and he was very productive for the San Francisco 49ers. Is this, let's start from the beginning. Let's start here. 'Cause this obviously is centering on money. My belief is, and we've like broken this down 50 different ways, that there is a monumental difference between $26 million and $30 million in this conversation. And it's a bit unclear, though there are reports out that the 49ers offered him $26 million in May, and not much has changed since that. Now we're hearing numbers from Mike Reese that, what was it, the Patriots offer was like $32 million. That is a massive discrepancy in the world of the NFL. What do you think Brandon Ayuk is worth as a wide receiver? Like, are we talking top three money, top five money, top 10 money? Like, what are we looking at?
I think he's worth top 10 money. Like, I think he's worth 28 to 30. And if I'm the 49ers and your window appears to be closing like it is, I'm not really sweating a couple million dollars here and there. Like, I'm just trying to get this deal done, trying to make sure you go into the season with the vibes as high as they could possibly be. And right now they're just not. There's just a lot of question marks. I was at camp on Sunday and it was just this cloud sort of weighing over the entire practice, right? It's like, it's not really about what's going on the field. It's about the guys that aren't there in Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. And like, it's really hard to get to the mountaintop and keep coming up short the way the 49ers have. And at some point, like the championship window is going to close. And at some point, there, you know, some guys are going to age out of this roster and they're not going to be able to pay everybody. But Brandon Ayuk is a guy that you sort of bridge the gap to the next core, right? It's like, it's Brock Purdy. It's going to be Nick Bosa. Brandon Ayuk certainly should be that guy. Like, you paid Christian McCaffrey, but you're going to lose players elsewhere. So you got to keep the guys who are good and young and still in their prime. Even aside from just the conversation about this season where there's so much urgency to try to win a Super Bowl now. So if the 49ers end up trading Brandon Ayuk, to me, it's just a massive miscalculation on their part throughout the entire offseason. Like, you can make the case of, you know, trading Brandon Ayuk in April and getting a first round pick and then using that first round pick and you get a cost controlled player for 4 or 5 more years in the way that, you know, the Chiefs dealt Tyreek Hill and still won Super Bowls, right? Mm-hmm. In the way that the Packers traded Devontae Adams, and while their receiving core hasn't been quite at that level, it's pretty good, right? Like, it hasn't been a complete disaster of a trade for them. There's plenty of logic and history behind trading a guy and recouping, you know, multiple draft picks if you can do it. But to do it in August, like during training camp, especially when you don't have to me, that just, I don't understand the logic of it. And this whole thing screams like malpractice if the 49ers do end up making this deal and Brandon Ayuk is playing elsewhere in 2024.
Yeah, I don't understand trading. Well, I understand trading, but I don't understand trading if you're not getting a starter at one of these positions and need back. Like, if you're just doing it for picks, I mean, you can do that whenever. Like me and Jesse were talking about earlier, maybe the picks aren't as good, but I'm not worried about that, right? Like, I'm worried about if I'm making a trade, I need a verified starter. So I'm of the belief, like, the trade is going to happen. I'd like to see what they get back in return. And if it's anything less than a certified starter, that's one that I can't give them a pass on. That'd be all bad, in my opinion.
And if you look at, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Steelers. Who on the Steelers would you be happy with getting back?
Right? Yeah, it's not there, man. It's at least not it's at not that there. Wide receiver position.
I mean, I like George Pickens. I would take George Pickens back, but I don't think he's on the table, to be honest with you.
I don't know that Pickens is even a Kyle Shanahan type receiver. Like, for me, it's like, could you get Minka Fitzpatrick? But if you're
that's what I was thinking. Do you go to another position outside of that wide receiver position and see what you can get?
But I can't imagine the Steelers wanting to give up Minka. So, right. Like, at, you know, one of their young offensive linemen, like, is that moving the needle? Like, Kyle Shanahan and Chris Forrester talk all the time about, you know, the important players are the ones with the balls in their hands, and you hope you can get linemen in the middle rounds of the draft. Like, trading Brandon Ayuk for an offensive lineman just doesn't seem like that's something they would do at all. So I don't know, man. It seems like a trade is likely, but I feel like they could say, all right, you saw what the market is. These teams offered you this much. Maybe now we'll raise our offer to this level. Mm. But I mean, I don't, going from 26 to 28, like, shouldn't be that much of a hassle. Hmm. Like, I know they have constraints, but that, to me, like, you know, this is the wrong time and the wrong team to be pinching pennies like this.
Do you think, like, why do the 49ers do this? Like, why is this happening again? Like, why do they insist on it going this way?
So I feel I kind of straddle the fence on this, because they've done a really good job, obviously, of putting together a good roster and having a lot of really highly paid players. And they've done so, like, George Kittle, top of the market when they signed him. Same with Fred Warner, same with Trent Williams, same with Christian McCaffrey. So they've been willing to go to the top of the market for all these positions. And it's just odd to me now that they're deciding against doing it for Brandon Ayuk, even though he clearly deserves it. Mm. I do wonder if there's an element of, like, well, we have Deebo Samuel, and, you know, we sort of thought that maybe we would be moving on from Deebo Samuel because of the health concerns long term and his style of play. And is he going to age all that well, given all the physical contact that he takes? But then Deebo Samuel happens to be, like, the best player at training camp right now. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like, can you make a decision about, all right, well, we'll pay Brandon Ayuk, but we'll move on from Deebo. Can you think that way right now if you're the Niners? I don't know. So This keeps happening because they're very judicious on their contracts. I think Prague Marate is very good at manipulating the salary cap. And there's a reason why they've been contending for as long as they have. It's because they have a lot of good players. And they have to pay a lot of these players. And they've done a good job of that. But at some point, it's going to go the other way. And you're not going to be able to pay everybody. And it just feels to me right now they're being way too tight about this. And just particularly what's at stake. Like, you know, it's just... It's not a time to be trading, you know, a young ascending all pro type player when you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, because you don't know if you're ever going to be back here again because of the financial ramifications coming up over the next few years and all the guys you're going to have to lose.
The thought of paying Brandon Ayuk $30 million. I like Brandon Ayuk. If I could, I would if I was the general manager. You think the 49ers should be paying a wide receiver $30 million a year? It's a team that passes the least in the game and uses their tight ends and all this other stuff. Do you think they should be paying a wide receiver $30 million a year?
He was an all-pro, and he blocks his ass off, right? Like, he's not one-dimensional in the sense of, like, he's not an asset on the field during in the running game. Right. So he fits Kyle Shanahan to a T. He fits Brock Purdy to a T. Mm. And we haven't talked about Brock Purdy at all. But, like, man, if you're about to give Brock Purdy $55-60 million, you better maximize him in terms of, you know, the weapons around him that he's comfortable with. And maybe Ricky Pearsall develops into that. But I think it's pretty clear that Brandon Ayuk is the best long term fit with Brock Purdy. And now if you trade him and then you're paying Brock Purdy $60 million a year next offseason, and he doesn't have his best weapon, I just think you're, you know, it's a slippery slope. Like, you're not setting yourself up to succeed in that sense. And, man, I would just pay everyone you can now and then deal with the financial stuff later. They're trying to do this, like, I think they're trying to fit the future into the present a little bit too much, or factor the future into the present a little bit too much. And I think, you know, if they end up trading him, it's going to bite him. Like, that's my opinion. And, you know, maybe it works out, but I have a hard time finding the logic in trading Brandon Ayuk in August. If you were to tell me they traded Brandon Ayuk for a first round pick before the draft and they drafted someone that they really liked and that player is going to help them, then I could, you know, you could talk me into that. You can't talk me into trading Brandon Ayuk in August.
Do you think that really is the biggest hang up right now? The idea of not necessarily what our cap looks like right now, but everyone knows, and everyone in football has written about the Brock Purdy contract coming next year. And the fact that this team is loaded with really good players at multiple positions on both sides of the ball, is that what they're trying to navigate right now today when dealing with Brandon Ayuk, is all of this stuff that's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, covering the team for as long as I did, whenever you would talk to John Lynch, he would always talk about, you know, they have a 3-year plan at all times, right? So everything they would do would factor in that 3-year plan, and they would, you know, be looking ahead and trying to balance competing now and not putting them in a bad spot 3 years down the road. But at a certain point, it's like the 1994 team, and there was no salary cap in 1994, so it's not analogous in that way. But, like, they went all in on that season, because they were able to get Deion Sanders and they were able to piece together, you know, the best roster in the NFC because they had been on the doorstep for so long and hadn't broken through since, you know, whenever it was, 1990 and 1991. And then that's sort of where they are now. And now there's a salary cap, but they still have that 1994 type roster, but they're not going all in. Right. And so I think that is the source of frustration. If you're a 49ers fan, it's like, man, you're a team that sets the standard of, you know, Super Bowl or bust every year, basically. Mm-hmm. And now you're risk losing one of your best offensive players for a couple $1 million a year. Like, if that's, you know, if the reported numbers are accurate, which I think they are, like, that to me is just, it's not the direction that they should be going.
Yeah, I think there's a difference, in my opinion, in if you could get him for 28, 28 and a half, and you're stuck on this 26 number. I mean, that's egregious if you're the 49ers. That can't happen. If it's 32 plus, which, you know, there's a report out there that he turned down 32 from the Patriots, maybe he feels he could get that or something around there for the Steelers, that's a little different. I'll ask you, Chris, a question that I asked Jesse and D'Lo. Is Brandon Ayuk a top five player on the 49ers?
Oh, man. Okay, so Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Christian McCaffrey, that's three. George Kittle, Fred Warner. Man.
You ain't even named the quarterback yet.
You ain't even named the quarterback. And then
Brock Purdy, yeah.
And that goes into that. I think you got to think about that, too. You're going to pay a guy that's not top five on your team $30 million. I would pay him because I just like Brandon Ayuk and I like offense, right? But every time I ask somebody, everybody's like, yo, you got to pay him, you got to pay him. I was like, not even top five on your own team.
But that's unique to this team. Like, so let's do this the other way. Okay, he's seventh. We could throw Kittle. I don't agree with Kittle, but like that's fine. Let's throw them all in there. He's seventh. Can you afford to lose him?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how they look at it.
Well, you got all the money in the world.
This was a decision they needed to make in the spring before the draft. Like, Kenny, I get where you're coming from. Like, if you're like, yeah, we're not going to pay our seventh best player $30 million a year, I get that. But you can't make that decision in August. Like, you got to move on. Like, do the DeForest Buckner thing and try to recoup a first round pick. God. And then, not that the DeForest Buckner thing worked out,
it did,
but there are plenty of examples of, there are plenty of examples elsewhere of trading a good player for a first round pick and recouping. And we saw the Chiefs do it with Tyreek Hill. So, like, I just think regardless of where you're at on paying Brandon Ayuk, that's not a decision for August. It's a decision for before the draft. So at least you can move forward and help your team this year because, you know, like we said, unless they're getting Minkah Fitzpatrick, there's nobody on the Steelers roster that you're adding while you lose Brandon Ayuk that gives you the same chance or a better chance to win a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
I think, I think the Niners just misread this situation, the whole situation. There's an argument to not doing that at the draft because you say, nah, we want him here first and foremost. Like, we want him on the team. Like, we're not disgruntled with him. We don't want to move on from him. We want him on the team. Let's not be so rash right now. And let's wait till, you know, later in the summer and we'll figure this thing out. And they just haven't. Like, and I guess somebody's got to get blamed on anything, but I don't think the thinking in that case is that far off, especially if you want the guy on your team. If you want him on your team, you're not just getting rid of him at the draft because he says, I want out. Like, you're going to try and see this thing through, and maybe it's a gamble, and it seems like right now they gambled wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think one thing they miscalculated was the receiver market overall. Right, because it sounded like they were ready to give Brandon Ayuk $26 million before Justin Jefferson signed, before A.J. Brown signed, before Jalen Waddle signed, right? Like, they knew all these receivers were free or were going to get new contracts. And it always happens in the NFL, right? Everyone just gets more expensive. When Jimmy Garoppolo signed in February 2018, he was the highest paid player in the league for like a week until the next quarterback got his contract. Like, that's always how it works in the league with the growing salary cap. Like, these guys, the numbers are always going to get bigger. And I think they thought, or for some reason, they didn't foresee the fact that so many receivers were going to get paid and these numbers were going to get driven up. And it would have made way more sense to make the aggressive push to sign Brandon Ayuk if he was really important to you. Sign him in the spring before all these other guys signed. That way, you're not getting inflated by, you know, the AJ Brown deal, the Devontae Smith deal, all that stuff. Like, all that stuff happened, and Brandon Ayuk's like, well, I might have been worth 26 in March, but look at all these dudes who signed. Like, I'm worth 28, 29, 30 now. And that I think is the Niners' biggest miscalculation, was that they should have looked at the market and known that these numbers were going to go up in a way that would have made them uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wonder if offering him 28 in March would have been or whatever May, whenever the deal was allegedly offered, if the 28 offer, because what we hear is 26. But if you offered him 28 before the Waddle deal hits, before some of these deals that Chris just referenced right there, does it feel different than today?
Yeah, you probably get the deal done, I would think.
You
remember when George Kittle, like when the 49ers first approached George Kittle's camp, I forget who reported it. It was that they gave him an offer on Valentine's Day, and Kittle's camp called it the Valentine's Day Massacre because it was such a bad offer. Like, the 49ers love starting low and then working to, you know, whatever they're going to get. but for whatever reason, they started low and just haven't been able to, but haven't worked up to the rest of the market. And it's, you know, it's, I don't know that there's a good reason for it. I really don't. It's odd to me that they're doing this.
Do you think 26 is low?
Yeah.
Okay. We've had that discussion. Like I think 26 is too low for the caliber of player that Brandon Ayuk is.
I think Amon-Ra St. Brown and Brandon Ayuk are very comparable players, just in terms of their value, right? I don't think Amon-Ra St. Brown is worth 30, but you know, like I would say, Amon-Ra St. Brown is worth 28 if I was like really picking nits, right? But that. Like the Niners are one of the most valuable franchises in sports. Like, just guarantee a little bit more money here. Like, it's not that difficult. I don't know.
That's why I can't believe it's 28. Like, if they're at 26 reported,
well, now it might be 32.
Well, and that's a different conversation.
Yeah, that's
right?
A very different conversation.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's 28, I'm looking at the 49ers. Funny. I'm like, what? You're not gonna give him two more mil annually, or a mil and a half, or whatever the case may be. You sound crazy. If it's 32,
if it was 32, different... he should have taken it then.
Well, maybe, 32, right? Like 32. If it was about the money, and
well,
it was 32.
Unless you think you can get 32 from Pittsburgh.
Well, that's a dangerous. You can't think. You have to know.
And see,
you have to know what Pittsburgh's offer is.
I agree, and it feels like. I'll give this to Brandon Ayuk, him and his representative. They've known a lot this whole time. They knew not to sign that deal early. They knew not to cave. They knew, hey, we can get, I think that agent is selling. We don't have to settle for no 26, not even 28. We can get X amount of dollars if you want it. All you got to do is stick to your guns. And so far, they're
but,
right.
But yeah,
because like we didn't even know if they can get 32. He got 32 allegedly, an offer of 32 million.
They got it.
From
they got it from the Detroit Pistons, though.
Well,
you want to go play for the Detroit Monty? You want to go coach the Detroit Pistons? And I guess Monty went and did it. So I guess it's possible. But the one thing they don't know is the end game, because this is like you could say, hey. We got a contract in place. Pittsburgh, let's say Pittsburgh's 32. Great. You're 8. You guys played this beautifully. Fantastic. Chris pointed this out a minute ago. I'm sorry. What are you sending back? Because we're trying to, and this is the key component to everything. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. Your second round pick next year or 2 years from now, that doesn't help us win a Super Bowl right now. How am I going to look Trent Williams in the face when I got to go get his contract situation dealt with? How am I going to look Fred Warner in the face and tell them, yeah, sorry, man, but, you know, we're getting a good draft pick next year. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Which is why I still think there might be a better chance than what's out there publicly that they just
I'm with you. Yep,
well,
I'm with you.
Take it for what it's worth. I know Rappaport is saying what he's saying, but Schefter's weighed in. And there's video of it. I obviously haven't heard it, but the caption is, Adam Schefter reports the situation with Brandon Ayuk is still at a standstill, and the 49ers are not in a rush to make a move.
Okay.
So.
There it is.
And that's the way they should be. Like.
Well.
I wouldn't be in a rush to make a move.
Well, it depends on Chris's answer to my next question before we let him go. Is the Trent Williams thing a big deal, or do you think they have, or is this is they're going to get this dealt with no problem?
I think the Trent thing is going to get dealt with because it's probably similar to McCaffrey. It's probably just guaranteeing money that he's probably going to make anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
And finding a way to inflate his average annual value so it's number one in the league, so he can be on top of the SPO track and over the cap lists.
Well, they need to do it because so, they're making me nervous.
Well,
if you're Trent Williams and you're as accomplished as he is, you probably aren't dying to get to training camp before, you know, the second preseason game.
Well, you say it's because I'm a fan, but they're making me nervous because how they misread this situation. I don't want them misreading another.
I don't think they're going to misread one.
They better not.
Because I honestly think Trent Williams will sit down and say, look, we ain't doing what you just did. Let's get this dealt with right now. Here's what I want. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's what you need to do. And John Lynch goes, okay, and they end it. That's how it goes.
Wait, at and least with Brandon
Trent goes
Ayuk,
buys another great sweater.
At least with Brandon Ayuk, they have Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. Jalen Moore is not those guys from it. A talent perspective. It.
Great catching up, Chris, man. We appreciate you so much. Excited for a football season to get here and Kings basketball to get here, you know, a month and some change away. And we could talk a lot more, not about contracts and what ifs, but what's happening on the field and the court.
Absolutely. Good to see you guys as always. Appreciate you.
All right, appreciate you. That's our man, Chris Biederman, right there. The Sacramento Bee covers the San Francisco 49ers with Candlestick Chronicles and, of course, does great work covering the Sacramento Kings over at the Sacramento Bee as well. Excited to have him on a lot more this upcoming season. We'll come back. We have James Hamm on all the time.
Hey.
You can catch James Hamm 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Here on ESPN 1320 on the Insiders, and he joins us next. I actually had to think for a second. What day is today? Is James really with us? He is. It's Wednesday. James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. James Hamm getting ready to join us here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. I love that I say he's getting ready to join us like he's at home, like warming up, getting ready for his big appearance on
D'Lo
and
KC. Sounds about right. That's probably what's going on.
Bro's probably still taking his nap right now.
He's probably thinking, oh, crap, I got to go do this damn show.
Alarm is at 2:56. It'll give him 4 minutes to just wake up and be ready to get to the bar.
Throw his hat on, walk over. I've been to his house. He could just take a nap right outside the bar. Be just fine.
I got to get to the lake, to Hammers.
Well, be stay, careful.
There's a compound.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Who are you here to see? I'm on the list. I'm Damian Barling. You're here to see James Hamm? All right. You can go through.
It takes a second for people to be like, yo, is this dude all right? Then they say, all right, and then they let you through.
That's what they do. They your name better be left at the gate. You ain't getting in. The White Sox snapped their 21-game losing streak by beating Checks Notes. Oh, dear. They beat the A's.
Well, somebody, they're going to win at some point.
Well, you just don't want it to be against you.
They're celebrating by losing right now.
They went 27 days between wins. Well, that's the other. Well, this is a, what are they, 60 games below?
Yeah, they got 28
that's
wins.
That's a bad, bad baseball
that's
team.
That's just embarrassing.
Losing 21 games in a row in baseball is almost like, feels like low-key impossible. Just because baseball is a game where it's just like, stuff just happens or whatever. It's like, you couldn't figure it out one time.
That's awful. It's only August 7th. They've lost 88 games already.
That's insane.
That is awful. And it might be 89. Jeez.
Well, congratulations on that.
The hat and the uniform is still cool, though.
Oh, yeah. I'll rock my White Sox hat.
And they had the gray ones on yesterday. That was fire. Yeah.
They still got it. So, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen a worse team in baseball. I remember, and I mean ever, I remember when people, I think it was last year, I don't think they felt this way this year, but they thought the A's were going to be like so awful. And they kind of started off that way, got real bad, and then they won like 9 in a row, and then they were bad again. That's one of the worst teams I've seen in recent memory. This team is far worse than that. This White Sox team is terrible. Jeez. You know, the one good thing that I need to start tapping into, though, I don't know, Jesse, if you've seen this, but you know who's on their local post-game show, pre and post?
Oh, Frank Thomas?
No.
Oh, yeah, Ozzie Guillen. Yeah.
I need to start tapping into what Ozzie got to say.
Well,
because Ozzie done had a couple moments already.
It's low-key just Ozzie Guillen post-game press conferences just as an analyst now.
I'll take it. Long as it's funny.
This is nasty work right here. How do I want to present this? All right. So the worst run differential outside of the White Sox is the Rockies. You guys want to guess or you just want me to tell you?
The number?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually saw these numbers yesterday. Okay. I know they're pretty outrageous.
Okay, let me go -200.
I don't think it's quite that high.
The Rockies are -177.
Yeah.
Well, I was the one who played. Let me get that W, please.
Fair enough.
The White Sox are a -247.
Oh, I don't think I saw that. Yikes.
Well, I was on it then.
I don't think I saw White that. I saw the Rockies number.
The White Sox are a minus 247.
Is there? There's one other team in triple digits, right?
Yeah, it's the Marlins.
They're like minus 140-ish?
153 for the Marlins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just going to drop this in here from Drew Down. Don't mind me.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, at least D'Lo admits it when he's seen the numbers, huh?
Well, I mean, look. I didn't call for the game. I saw, and it was days before. It was like 2 or 3 days before. Blake Griffin, one of you yahoos in the chat.
So I was local radio yahoos.
One of you yahoos said, hey, why don't we do Blake Griffin pocket watching?
Well, I didn't call for the game here either. I said I saw the numbers yesterday. I was going to present them. I didn't. The conversation didn't lead to it, so I let it go.
I'm just saying. You know, that's how that went down, but I'm the bad
guy. I played
guy.
A game with honor.
Stop it.
It's facts. Integrity.
I play the game to win. I don't know what y'all talking about. I be winning.
Hustle, loyalty, respect. Can he learn it?
Well, that's why you got Hulk Hogan did by Abe.
Abe got that little summer league ring, and that's what he's got. I'm the big dog.
The good news is it means Jesse's going to beat Abe, and then you'll get the title back at WrestleMania 10, so it'll be fine.
Then shout out to the Giants as well. They were so happy that they got to 500.
I'm sensing sarcasm.
You know, they were like, oh, had all these little grins, like, yeah, got to 500.
Yeah.
And they promptly lost and got beat down yesterday by the Nationals. The Nationals is Tony Kornheiser, we'll call them.
epic jersey.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. That wasn't nice of me. I shouldn't have done that. But we don't need a parade for getting to 500. What are we doing? What are we doing, guys? Come on, that's where y'all should be.
Well, I don't think they very threw least. A parade.
Oh, they're all happy. Oh, 500. All right.
Is there a video of this that they did where they were there?
Man, I need them to be a more consistent team.
But you said they're not very good.
I need them to win. I need them to get into the playoffs. I want them to get into the playoffs. The damage is already done. Farhan's already got the contract extension, so it's not like if they lose, they'll get rid of him.
Who's this Farhan you speak of?
Well, then we all know Farhan. It's me. It's me, Nilo. It's me. It's Farhan's idea. And, you know, I'm the leader of this thing, and one of the big things about being a leader with the San Francisco Giants is, number one, runs don't matter. That's what you always want to remember because it's an overrated stat. Yep. Getting runs and having the most runs in a game is an overrated stat.
Yep.
What you really need is you need the Vazorb. And if you have the Vazorb, my calculations say that more times than not, you will have more wins. And to be honest with you, I also have a formula that says wins is a little overrated as well. It's about how you get there, and okay. That's the most important thing.
Can we get a shot clock on these things?
Never. The Giants
Jesse just been hosting the show all day. I just turned into him and started calling for impressions.
The Giants supposed to be better. They just stuck in mediocrity. I can't tell from the reactions on Twitter. And then Casey's like, oh, they got to be better.
Well, KC was like, you know, I thought you didn't want this team to make the playoffs.
No, I never said that. Because remember I said this doesn't work like baseball and football. Like if they're bad, then they get a good pick. Like mm-hmm. It'll take nine
they already
years.
Have the draft.
Yeah, well, it'll take 9 years for me to see the player anyway. So there's no use in like trying to get the worst rate. I'd always much rather see him win.
The draft in the middle of the season throws me off every single year.
I don't know why.
Every year the Jeff Passan alert pops up with the number one pick. Wait, what? Oh, that's right. That's what they do.
Catch it all Thursday right. At 1 o'clock p.m. on MLB Network too.
Well, right? Don't do that. They do it on Sunday. They actually replace.
I don't think they do it on Sunday, do they?
The first round is they always replace the Sunday night baseball game and have the draft. Maybe in the last 2-3 years.
I thought it just happened one day when I got home after KSFM. Oh, somebody drafted somebody.
That's how it used to be. Like, I think they did the Sunday thing. Maybe it's the second year.
Vaguely remember Kyler Murray going like 10th with like at 2:30 o'clock during the day.
No, that did happen. That did happen. It was like a Wednesday, starting at 3 p.m. was the draft. But they smartened up a little bit. When they had a lot of black ball players get drafted in the first round, and I think it was like Bob Nightingale or whatever his name is. He said, I don't know the exact name, but he's like, 9 of the first 21 picks in this first round are African Americans. That's what I call diversity. It's like, all right, man. It's like, all right, man, calm down.
Who said that?
I think it was like Bob Nightingale. He said something to that nature. He's like, that's diversity for you. It's like, all right, man, settle down. I'm happy too, but let's just settle down.
DEI Major League Baseball. Hey, that's a good thing.
I'm happy too. I probably could have left
the last line.
I would have had that on there.
9 out of the first 10. Now there's 18 black baseball players. All right, Bob.
The Giants got one of them too. I like him. He went to Mississippi State. I like him. I think I tweeted about him a couple of weeks ago. I was like, he's going to be my favorite player in a minute in 7 years. When he finally makes his major league debut. Although he went to college, so he might get there a little quicker. He should be there next year. Come on, man. Stop playing. Gotta make sure Vazorp is right.
That just sounded odd.
What's the other stat?
Gerg. Now, I did see in some of the numbers that I was crunching with our new draft picks, his Gerg is off the charts.
You know what? I just saw TNT might do Inside on Sports. Shaq, what do you think about the Giants?
The Giants? I mean, look, we talk about the Giants. We're talking about a team that knows a championship like I do. You know, it takes a champion to know a champion. And that's something, D-Lo, you don't know nothing about. Jesse, you don't know nothing about. A champion is what the Giants were, and they can get back to where they were before.
Okay.
Well, no, don't try and cut me off from talking about championship. You don't know nothing about that, D-Lo. The Giants can get back to it. They can. They just have to make sure that they stay focused and play like big men.
I'm gonna put a buzzer on the board.
I've been wondering how to work in the other impressions when he does MLB, and now we got it.
Well, what Jesse said is a shoot. Apparently, there's a possibility inside the NBA becomes Inside Sports.
I need to settle down.
Well, I don't hate it. I when are you putting that on?
I don't know. And also, look, I like them. They're a group of guys that I would watch Inside Sports. It won't bother me at all. Like, I would watch.
If you remembered that it was on, because you won't be watching a basketball game there.
There's that.
Which is the problem.
Yeah. I would watch it. Here's the problem, though. They barely watch the NBA. they get those guys wrong. What they going to do with baseball?
Kenny Smith, what do you think of the Steelers quarterback situation? Well, you know, when I was playing with Akeem.
Inside Sports would be Ernie talking for 30 minutes.
Kenny Smith, what do you think about what's going on with the Angels? Well, you know, Austin Trout, he's a good ball player. No. But they've got to figure out a way to get some people around him.
Shaq?
Well, he reminds me of Joel Embiid. Well, look, Mike Trout.
I wasn't calling for another. That's not, you misunderstood what I was doing.
He's not a champion. I mean, calling for, he'd be like Shaq. He'd be like D-Lo. He'd be like Jesse. He's not like us, Kenny. Not like us.
You hate that song.
That song's dead. It's not dead. It's alive, but it should be taken out the pasture.
But it's not. How many hours did you spend going through the Drake 100 gig?
I wasn't going to bring this up because it's not anything you're interested in. But it was on my timeline a lot. It's some interesting videos. Nothing like groundbreaking or whatever, but like seeing him put together one of the songs off of Take Care. I can't remember. Just seeing the prize.
There was one where he was in a booth where I was like, they shouldn't have put this looks really weird, like he sounds bad before the production is done to it. But it's where, but it's like they're, but it's making a record. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's, you know, hey, I'm gonna pick it up here, and they're playing, you know, something that's running on sound, and then he's trying to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And it's just it was like, he sounds like crap. Like, this is weird. Like, what is this?
Those people are crazy for going through all the
absolutely
gigs.
Insane.
They are crazy.
I thought it was music. When we got the alert, I thought they dumped a bunch of music.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Only 3 songs dropped.
I don't know what songs they were. I don't know. I heard a song with him and Lotto this morning.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So what I didn't know, like, I couldn't tell, are these new songs are they just old songs that he just put out? But the rest is like video that has songs on it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, that's not what I expected, and I'm not going through this.
Hell no.
I said it on Corners of the Culture, like, yo, look, I understand this is my job. I'm not doing this.
No.
I went to the website because I was like, I'll preview the records, and there were like three of them.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I heard these on Instagram. I'm going to keep it moving.
Is it the one with Lotto, the one with 21. Young Thug and 21? Mm-hmm. And then I haven't heard the
that
other.
The 21's like, he's not talking about Kendrick. I just want to make that clear. He is not talking about Kendrick. Hey, K-Dot, that wasn't about you. That's why I couldn't figure out, like, is this an old record or a new record?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.